It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This summer, when Iowa City Schools put out the call for teachers to develop an online curriculum to use during the pandemic, Buffy Quintero answered the call. She's an art teacher, normally at Longfellow Elementary School, but 2020 is not a normal year. Quintero is teaching online and in person this year, and the curriculum she helped to develop has been implemented district-wide. She's been recognized for her innovation and creativity. She's been named the Elementary Art Educator of the Year by the Art Educators of Iowa, and she's on the line with me now. Hello, Buffy.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here. And I want to start by going back to March. When things shut down, art class was one of the lowest priorities. I mean, you guys just kind of disappeared in some ways, didn't you?
Yeah, it was definitely a strange time for teachers. I think we all felt like we really wanted to be there for students. But, you know, everything was just brand new. Nobody had heard of Zoom before, which now seems crazy to think about. That was only in March.
Yeah.
But I have some really fantastic colleagues that I work with, the teacher librarian, the music teacher, and the PE teacher. And so we started just doing our own, voluntary for any kids that wanted to come and check in Zooms with students.
So what did you learn during those early months for the students that did show up to your art classes?
It was just so nice to be able to see the students and connect with them. And so I just kind of saw what things worked over Zoom, you know, that things maybe needed to be simplified a little bit. And that kids still wanted to have fun and be doing things and making things and creating. And, you know, everyone was stuck at home. So I think that kind of helped to see, like, yeah, kids want to be making art still.
So when the school district put out the call for teachers to help develop a curriculum for this school year, an online curriculum, but also this turned out to be the curriculum rolled out district-wide, what made you want to be a part of that?
I think it was just the feeling of there were so many things as teachers that were out of our control, especially during the summer. And there were so many things that were unknown, and it was so difficult to plan. Like, we didn't know, will we be in person? Will we be online? How many students will we have? I mean, there were so many question marks. So I think it was just the feeling of, like, well, this is something I can control. This is something I can do. Instead of just worrying. And so actually when I, you know, said that I wanted to work on the curriculum, I didn't realize that it was the whole curriculum when I said yes. But then when I found out more about what was being asked, my husband actually said to me, because I kind of had a moment where I was like, am I sure I want to take this on? Am I sure that I can do this? And my husband said, you're just going to be worrying anyway, so why not put that towards, you know, something that you can be, you know, in control of and direct your worries towards.
Right. And when you say whole curriculum, what do you mean by that?
So the elementary art curriculum.
So taking on this now giant task and with the added challenge of making this something that is accessible online, where did you start?
I started by talking to other colleagues who were also writing the online curriculum and kind of figuring out what approach they were taking. Beth Brown, who is my colleague that's a music teacher, was really helpful in seeing what the music teachers were doing. And I talked to the art coordinator. And so I just kind of started just by talking with people. And then I just started working on it. We also have a person in the district, Andrew Fenstermacher, and he helps with all the online tech support. So I had to kind of get a sense of, you know, what platforms we were using and, you know, how our curriculum could work in those platforms.
Yeah, and anybody
so
who has...
kind of trying to understand, like, what that all would be, because nobody had ever done that before.
Right. Anybody who's stumbled their way through trying to lead a Zoom meeting without really understanding the tools, I can imagine that there was a real learning curve there.
Yeah. So it was really helpful that we had done those Zooms in the spring.
Yeah.
To kind of understand what that would look like to do a Zoom just as an art class.
Well, and when you were developing this curriculum, did you believe that you were just developing the online curriculum, not necessarily what the students who might participate in hybrid learning would use as well?
The call had went out for online curriculum development, but pretty early on as I was working on it, I came to understand that I wanted to design it that it could be used online or hybrid, because art teachers are in a unique position. You know, we didn't know for sure, like, if we would be all online or online and in person. And I had a notion that it might be that we would be doing both. So I wanted the same curriculum that could be used for both.
Now, one of the really magical things that I think a lot of us remember from elementary school is going into the art room, and you have access to all of these things that you don't have at home, like the pastels and the paints and those big sheets of paper and, you know, stuff that you just don't get your hands on at home.
Yeah.
Now you're designing a curriculum for kids who are at home, and not only do they not have access to your magical closet, but you have to design a curriculum based on things that they might already have, right?
Yeah. And that was the other thing. The curriculum is designed to use the school supplies, only the school supplies. But we, you know, talk all the time about, as artists, that artists are creative and they're innovative. And so if there's other things that you have on hand, you can use those as well. So, for example, one of the lessons that I'm finishing up right now with fifth and sixth graders, we're making these cardboard fish inspired by In the Heart of the Beast puppet and mask theater that does this big May Day parade, you know, not during COVID, but other times. And they have this open workshop where people come in and build these huge puppets and things to celebrate the coming of spring. And a lot of what they use is paper mache and cardboard. So the kids are making these cardboard fish, so they're using cardboard that they have around their house. And cardboard actually is a really fun material to make things on.
And most people have access to cardboard, especially in this day and age of online shopping.
If they didn't have cardboard, you know, then they're using paper, and that's fine. So it's a lot of just kind of being flexible with the kids, too.
As you were putting this curriculum together, one of your priorities was to make sure that it's culturally responsive. What does that mean?
Well, I believe that representation really matters. And so I wanted to make sure that historically marginalized voices had a voice in this curriculum. So I really was careful in thinking about the artists that I chose to have as examples for the students. And so I picked a lot of artists of color and female artists.
This year has been such a tumultuous year. And of course, we have also, in addition to the pandemic, we have been experiencing a social justice movement. Were you thinking about that? You work in a very diverse district. Were you thinking about the Black Lives Matter movement as you put your art, elementary art curriculum together?
I was definitely thinking about it. I think, you know, everyone was watching that unfold over the summer, and it was definitely on my mind. And it was also a priority from the Iowa City School District. When they put out the call to teachers to develop online curriculum, they made sure that we went through culturally responsive training. And that was a priority, that was something that was taken into consideration for all of the online curriculum that was developed.
This is not something that is new to you, though. This wasn't a new priority for you. Can you tell me a little bit about why this has been such an important part of your work for a long time?
I guess I've just always believed, you know, in the importance of public education and that being a real leveler, that all students should have access to the same type of education. I guess also as a biracial child, sometimes, you know, I didn't see myself represented in things that was taught at school. And so I just believe that that's important.
Can you tell me about maybe just one of the artists that you're highlighting in the curriculum this year?
Sure. And it's an artist that I just kind of recently learned about, Alma Woodsy Thomas. And she has just these super bright, bold, vibrant, abstract work. And so the third and fourth graders, we started out looking at her work. She was an African-American artist. She has work in the Smithsonian. Her work is hung in the White House. And we just looked at her work, talked about it, talked about the things that students saw in the work, and then they created their own work similar to hers, just using crayons and then a watercolor wash over it, and they turn out so beautiful. And something I realized through this time, sometimes when you go back to more simple or basic supplies, you can have really, really beautiful work.
Hooray for crayons.
Yeah, crayons are gorgeous. Like sometimes when I'm coloring and demonstrating to the kids using crayons, I'm like, they are so beautiful. You know, if you push really hard with crayons, like you just have very fantastic results.
We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Buffy Quintero. She is an elementary school art teacher, usually at Longfellow Elementary School in Iowa City, although this year she's teaching both in person and online, so she's reaching students from many different schools. She also was involved in developing the curriculum for all of the elementary art students in Iowa City for 2020, and she's been named the Elementary Art Educator of the Year by the Art Educators of Iowa. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and with me is Buffy Quintero. She is an elementary school art teacher in Iowa City. She normally teaches at Longfellow Elementary, but this year she's teaching both online and in person and reaching students from many different schools in the district. This summer, when the call was put out to develop an online curriculum to use during the pandemic, Buffy answered that call and developed the art curriculum for all of the elementary students in the district. She has been recognized for her innovation and creativity by being named the Elementary Art Educator of the Year by the Art Educators of Iowa. And Buffy, we were talking before the break about how it's important to have a curriculum that is culturally responsive so kids of all different backgrounds can see themselves in the artists that you tell them about, that they learn about, but also can see that they can create and express themselves. And I think personal expression maybe it's not something we thought about when we were sitting in art class as elementary students, but is that your goal as an art teacher, to help kids learn how to express themselves?
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of one of our biggest goals as art educators, and maybe just even as educators, is to help students to just have confidence in themselves and confidence to tell their story.
During this time, it's been just so difficult in so many different ways. And of course, kids are feeling isolated. Many children have experienced loss in their own families. And there's just the loss of being in school, of having that normal kind of life. How have you taken really the emotional needs of your students into consideration in teaching?
Well, I think that's also been just a huge priority for teachers and district-wide, is taking into consideration the social-emotional needs of students. And, you know, each teacher kind of has to have their own way that they do that, that goes with their style of teaching and their personality. And for me, that is just to try to really show up and just, I feel like I've even upped my level of positivity with students and just trying to have it be just a very joyful time that we come together and we create and, you know, celebrate that creative process.
Were you worried? Clearly, you are a teacher who really loves to connect with your students and create those relationships. Were you worried that you wouldn't be able to do that online?
That was kind of the biggest unknown, I think, was, you know, how will that be? You know, how will we connect online in teaching? Because so much of teaching is about those relationships that you have with your students. But I've been really surprised about how we are able to connect online.
Have you had a moment in online teaching where you were like, wow, this really is working?
Yeah, I've definitely had moments where everyone holds up their work at the end of class, and it's like my heart just lifts because it's like, wow, this looks great, and everyone's getting it, and, you know, they're doing it. And it's a pretty great feeling.
What has it been like to teach in a mask?
It's different, but, you know, I think it's essential for safety. So we just kind of, another teacher said to me, you kind of get to the point where you don't even see the masks because you get so used to, you know, everyone's in a mask. And I wear a face shield as well. Mm. And that's because I have exposure to so many more students than just a classroom teacher would.
Right. I was just going to ask you about that. Were you frightened to go back to school in person?
No, there's just so many unknowns right now with things. And I feel like I try to really keep up on the news and the science of things and CDC recommendations. I definitely felt nervous about it.
Now that you...
But I just feel very connected to my community, and I felt kind of like a little bit of a call to duty to do it.
Yeah, I think a lot of teachers have felt that. Do you feel like people have recognized what teachers are doing? I mean, you are frontline essential workers, and we have lost educators here in Iowa, at least 9 at the last count.
I feel very supported in the Iowa City Community School District. I feel like we have a really fantastic school board that's looking out for our health and safety. I feel very fortunate to have our interim superintendent, Matt Degner, who's really taking that into consideration. And I feel like everyone's just kind of doing the best that we can.
Yeah. Are there things that you have started doing this year because of the pandemic that you will continue to do?
Well, it's probably about the most organized I've ever been. I just had to be just extremely organized this year.
Is there anything about teaching the way that you're teaching this year that has really surprised you?
Well, I don't know if it's so much surprising or validating, but, you know, as teachers, we're always saying, like, small class size matters. And this has been the chance, you know, for teachers who are teaching in person to see what it's like to have a small class. And that part has been truly amazing, to have a small group of students, because you really can give them all the individual attention that they need. And so that has been an interesting aspect to see.
Yeah. Can you tell me about an experience that you've had this year where that just reinforces that need for you to have that kind of ability to have the time with each kid?
Yeah, I have one class that was really large last year, and there are quite a few new students that I was trying to get to know, and there were just some challenges with the class. And now this year, and some students maybe not feeling confident in themselves and what they were doing in art class, and now this year, having them in a smaller group, I've just really, in the short amount of time that we were in person, because I only see them every other week because of the, the way things are divided in person, but they were just feeling so confident in what they were doing and making, and that was really cool to see.
And kids that had been a challenge suddenly weren't so challenging?
So, yeah, definitely.
This is such a challenging year for schools, and I think that the repercussions of this year are going to keep hitting us even once we've gotten to the light at the end of this long pandemic tunnel. It's been such an expensive year for schools, and art class is one of those things that tends not to be a priority when budgets get tight. Do you and your fellow art teachers talk about that? Do you talk about concerns that you may get hurt coming out of this pandemic?
I think as an art teacher, that's kind of always, like, regardless of if it's a pandemic, it's always kind of in the back of your mind that you really need to advocate for the importance of art education. And you really, different than maybe another educator might not need to advocate in the same way for the work that we do. And so that's just part of the job with art education. And it's kind of like, how do you choose to live your life? Do you choose to embrace the work you do and you control what you can control and you do your best job and you show up and you do good work? Or do you live in fear that, you might not have your job, you might lose it? I think if anything, we've learned anything during this time is sometimes the things that we think we're in control of, we're actually not in control of anyway. So, I guess my approach, and I can't speak for all art teachers, is I'm just going to do good work and I believe in it. I believe it's critically important for students, and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, we have seen a lot of adults also turning to art during this pandemic. Maybe arts and crafts. We can make that a little bit broader, but yeah. We've seen people.
And sometimes I think there doesn't need to be such a distinction between the two.
So we've seen people turn to that because they are at home. They can't do the things that they normally do. I know that craft stores have been overwhelmed by demand for some things. Do you feel like maybe even as adults we're starting to have a better appreciation for what this kind of expression can do for us?
I hope so. I mean, I truly, truly believe that every person has the potential that they can make things, they can create things, and that can be all kinds of different forms. And I think that's a great joy in life, to build something from nothing.
Do you have some advice for people who maybe want to get back into their crayon box, but feel a little nervous about it?
Well, I would start just by saying, what's something you love? What's something you love to do? And start there. Because if it's something that you kind of have some intrinsic motivation that you really want to do, that's the best starting point. And I think a lot of times we just don't trust ourselves. If you just trust what you kind of already innately know that you kind of want to do, or maybe something as a kid that you love doing, and just give yourself permission to do it.
Have you found space to create in between writing a whole new curriculum, teaching in person and online, and being a parent to two kids, one in junior high and one in high school?
I have.
What are you working on these days?
So I've been doing a lot of beading. So I've been making beaded jewelry, beaded earrings, and then I've also been roller skating. I've been doing dance and trick roller skating.
So what does that do for you, Buffy, to learn roller skate tricks and dance on roller skates?
I think it's just that whole thing of finding joy, you know? It's just really fun, and it's just a way to kind of shut out some of the stress right now. And, yeah, I think it's good to just learn new skills, especially as a teacher, because then you realize, like, what it's like. You kind of put yourself in that role again of what it's like to be a student and to feel unsure of yourself and what it's like to learn something new. And it's hard. It can be hard, and it's challenging. And, you know, that's what it's like for kids.
Your kids are also in school, and you don't have little kids. I know teachers who are trying to teach online who have little kids at home,
yes,
and I don't know how they do it.
So much.
But how have you gotten through that? I mean, even older kids need some technical support or homework help every once in a while.
Actually, I'm just so fortunate to have pretty independent kids. I have a student who's a seventh grader and a high schooler, and the seventh grader, it's a little challenging because it's the first time being in junior high and having different subjects, and she's taking it very seriously. And so she's sometimes, for me, like, what I need to do with her is to be like, okay, let's, like, go outside and go for a walk. And, you know, you don't need to do homework 24 hours a day. And then my son is the opposite, that, you know, sometimes I need to say to him, like, okay, you make sure you got that done. So, yeah, just taking into account their personalities and what they need.
How are you feeling about going into this winter? We know COVID cases are high. Obviously, the Iowa City schools are online because of that, because there have been a number of cases in the schools, and they want to prevent that from becoming a huge and dangerous problem. But it's getting dark. It's getting cold. It's getting hard to roller skate outside. What are you thinking about
Thanks
going into the winter?
Reminding me, Charity.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's just I'm sure I feel the same as most people. You know, it's a lot of unknowns, and, you know, just nervous about it.
Right now, you're seeing news reports talking about schools a lot, and written by people who don't necessarily have much inside knowledge. You have policymakers making decisions that affect schools. What do you want people to know about what it's like to teach in a pandemic?
One thing I would like to know, like people to know, is I think teachers, it's very challenging right now. Like I said before, teachers want to be there for students. And there's just a lot of pressure on teachers. And I wish all teachers could feel as validated as I'm feeling right now with receiving this award, because they are doing tremendous work, and it's very challenging.
I know a lot of districts are experiencing shortages of teachers as teachers have to quarantine or are sick, and we have seen teachers take leaves of absence. We've seen teachers retire. There are lots of substitutes in the schools, and we've changed the qualifications for substitutes to make it easier to be one. When you look at the future and think about future teachers, do you think people are going to want to become teachers after seeing this year?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess we'll just see how it plays out. I think people will still want to be teachers. I think it's kind of a calling.
Well, Buffy Quintero, thank you for teaching so many kids in Iowa City. And thank you for your inspiration today.
Oh, thank you.
Buffy Quintero is an elementary art school teacher in the Iowa City School District. She has been named the Elementary Art Educator of the Year by the Art Educators of Iowa. And she mentioned to me that in creating the new curriculum for Iowa City Schools, she also got a lot of help and encouragement from her mother, who's a retired art teacher. Coming up in just a moment, we'll meet an Iowa dreamer who has been bringing other undocumented young Iowans together as they forge a path for a brighter future. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.